So it's great to have the choir with us today. They're back. Let's show our love to the choir over here. Absolutely. Yep. So a couple of weeks ago, if you recall, I kind of did a sermon about bent out of shape. And so since then, you know, I talked about I've been really working hard not to be bent out of shape. And there are several people that kind of emailed me and told me they were going to join my challenge. So I'll share with you a time that I had an opportunity to be bent out of shape, but I did not. So we have the Nolan Street property behind our church. We have a house and then there's a vacant lot to it. And the vacant lot was just getting kind of shabby looking. So we decided we would clean it out, brush. There was a dead tree there. And so this past week we had the guys removing the tree. So you have the guys, you know, they're doing the chainsaws and sawdust as the chips are just kind of falling everywhere. And then they put all the stuff into the chipper. And there's a fan blowing with that chipper. So all the chips and that kind of blow up all over the place. So it was like a rainstorm of sawdust over there. So I was kind of there because I like to watch the guys do the work. And it was interesting. I've been on Nolan a lot last week, and I thought our parking lot was a cut-through, but Nolan Street is a cut-through. And boy, there are some fast cars that go down Nolan Street. So if any of us use Nolan Street, let's be wise and drive slowly on that street. So anyway, it was interesting to see how these cars would go through this rainstorm of sawdust. So some people were turning their wipers on, you know, as going through. So anyway, this is what it was. I saw coming down the road this shiny red convertible. And there was a woman in the car. She was dressed to the hilt. I mean, her hair was perfect. She had her sunglasses on. And she didn't realize what she had encountered until she just went through it. And she was just flailing like this, you know. She was caught in this sawdust storm. And so I said, okay. And then she pulled off to the side and stopped. And I thought, okay, what do I do? And I said, you know, so I went over and I said, are you okay? And she said, who owns that house? And I said, I do. And she was bent out of shape. She let me know how bent out of shape she was. And I was very nice. And I said, well, thank goodness it wasn't a flock of birds that were flying by your. And then she went as fast as she could. But, you know, I doubt she's using Nolan Street for a few days. You know, she's probably cutting through our property now, but she was not happy. So, you know, you got to be careful when you have a convertible. You know, you're open to all kinds of things. But that was my day. So in the scripture for today, it starts that it says that Jesus is having some great crowds. Isn't that great? Jesus is having some great crowds. What's happening is he's got people that are following him that are, they've heard stories about his teaching. They've heard how he is healing. They've heard about how he is offering people hope. There are probably some government spies from the Romans that are part of this group. There are probably some spies for the temple authorities that are part of this great crowd. But he's got this great crowd. And what it is they aren't just doing one stop, but they're kind of following him wherever he goes. And so he decides, you know, if these people are going to kind of keep traveling with me, they have to know what I'm all about and what it means to be part of this crowd. Because he doesn't want just a little bit of disciples who do a little bit of prayer, who do a little bit of commitment, a little bit of dedication. He wants their whole life. And so he tells them, you know, if you want to follow me, you have to do three things. One is hate your family. Jeez. Carry the cross. And give up all your possessions. And I would love to have seen how that crowd kind of dissipated that day with each of those. Imagine in the church if Jesus was standing right here and said, you dueling folks, if you want to follow me, you have to hate your family. You have to carry the cross. What does this cross up here mean to you? And you have to give up all of your possessions. Some of us might walk out. Some of us may say, this is not the church for me. I'll go down the street or somewhere else. But think about it. Those are the three things that Jesus tells us we have to do if we want to be faithful disciples. And so I'm going to help us through those three items. The first is, I was thinking about the cross. What does the cross mean to us? For me, the cross means my commitment as being a disciple of Jesus Christ. It can mean my salvation. It can mean my belief. It can be my love of Christ in my life. But for me, it's the symbol of the commitment that I'm called as a pastor and as a disciple of Jesus Christ. And that commitment comes in different ways. It's hard to make commitments to Jesus in the church in where we live because we have so many choices here in Northern Virginia. All the stuff, all the distractions. And think about all the possessions that we have. Stuff, I call it stuff. We are so brand identified. Our patterns of consumption and commitment define us. What kind of personal computer are we going to have? What kind of iPhone, shoe, purse, car? What kind of house are we going to live in? What browser are we going to use? All these choices define who we are. So let's look at the first one where he says about hate your family. And that sounds so hard. Jesus tells us to hate our moms and our dads and our kids. So I kind of did a little word study this week about what it means with the word hate, and it will calm you down a little bit. So imagine in Jesus' day, if you were part of the family, you were a large family unit, you were a generational family of grandparents, kids, daughters, sons, cousins, but you were kind of a generational family there. And to leave the family for whatever reason would have been of great concern. So the word hate for us is more of a displaced or left, where you have left the family. And I was thinking about some ways that we leave today. Our kids, when they go to college, they leave us. And that doesn't mean we hate them, but they leave us to go on to college and other opportunities. And I've learned that a lot of our college students that go out west, we hardly ever see them again. They love the West Coast. So that's kind of what the left means. We can have opportunities of in the scriptures. Abraham, he left his family. God called he and Sarah to go into the land of Ur. We have like Moses. Moses was living it nicely as in an Egyptian family. And God called him and he left and led the Hebrews into the promised land. Jesus left his family. It's told in the scriptures that he was 12 years old. The parents were looking for him. He was in the temple and he says, "Oh, I'm here in my father's house. Didn't you know this is where I'm to be found, where you expected to find me?" And then we don't hear any more about him in the scriptures until he's of age of 29, 30 years old. He had left his family. So Jesus is simply telling us that there are times in life when we're called to leave our families for something else that is important. And he's saying, you know, to follow me is important. And that might be an aspect that you have to leave your family. I was thinking about my own life this week. So I lived at home with my mama and my daddy until I was 28 years old. 28. Old. 28 years old. And you know, there was alcoholism in my family, and I kind of felt an obligation to stay with my mother and my sister. But you know, I had this call from God, and one of the hardest conversations I had with my family, with my mom and dad, was that I was moving out of the house and moving to Durham, North Carolina. And that was a big deal. It was harder for me than it was for them. But it was one of the best moves I made in my life was to leave that family system and to move on with my own life and not be bound by a life where I suffered. And then we talk about sacrifice. we're called to sacrifice. And so I thought this week about some ways that we sacrifice in our lives. We sacrifice years of study for an education. Think about those of us that go high school, college, community college, trade school, whatever it may be. Think of the time and the effort and the money that we put into gaining an education. We had the preschool orientation yesterday, and it's so funny to meet these parents that they're first-time preschoolers. It's like deer in the headlights, you know, like, oh my gosh. And I just say, breathe, breathe, it's going to be all right. But, you know, here they are, parents starting their education of kids at preschool at Doolin and then just moving through the education system. Think about our careers, the long hours and weekends that we spend on our careers. Think about the sacrifice of time and money to make sure that our kids go to camp and sports. When we have our yard sale and you know, we have stuff that come through, and I'll call somebody and I'll say, can you help me price the sports equipment? And, you know, I'll say, you know, let's put a dollar on that. And he'll say, well, you know, that cost $25 to start some little shin to play soccer for a kid. And I say, well, let's make it $4 then, you know, so we're going to raise the price. It's expensive. We sacrifice dessert for a healthy diet. We sacrifice sleeping so that we can have time to work out in the gym. We have all these kinds of things, and we want to ask, these are saying what our priorities are in life, and I'm just saying to you that we need to make God and Jesus and the Holy Spirit and the church a priority in our lives, as with everything else. It's supposed to be greater, and how can we move to the church being a higher priority in our lives than so much at the bottom and giving God leftovers? God is not a leftover God. The church is not a place to put your leftover money. Jesus tells it to make a priority in our lives. What's the answer? I don't know. I can't force you. I can help edify it for you. But think about when we come in this door each Sunday morning, and when we leave. Hopefully, when we leave, we are changed people. And I hope that as we go come in these doors, we have our priorities. And hopefully, when we leave these doors, our priorities are a little different. And each week, our priorities change and change and change, so we realize, yeah, Jesus is right. I have to make sacrifices in my life for the church and for God. Time. Time is important here, friends. Money, all of it. Our talents. We are such a talented church here. So think about how we can sacrifice, deny ourselves for others. What was the greatest commandment of Jesus? Love God with all your mind, body, soul, and strength. And love your neighbor what? As yourself. Let me close with a fun little illustration. Her name was Eleanor Boyer. Eleanor Boyer was 73 years old. She lived in Somerset, New Jersey, and she won the lottery. She won the lottery. The lottery at that time was about $16, $17 million. It wasn't one of those 500 million ones, but that's all right, I'll take it. And you know what she did? She gave $8 million to her church. You would not believe the sentiment that folks had of that gift. What in the world are you doing giving it to the church? You could be doing all these things, buying all these things. You can have anything you want, and you give it away to the church. She said, I have a pension. I have Social Security. That's all the money I need. I have a house I've been living in since 1924. I've got an old Chevrolet Impala car that works great. I don't need the money. the church needs the money. She said, I can help thousands of people instead of just me. That's a good lesson for us. You know what? If any of you win the lottery, you know what's going to happen? It's Pastor Dave. We're not home. Go away. Pastor Dave. What are our priorities? Think about it. How do we use our time? How do we use our money? How do we use the talents? It's all given to us by God. How are we going to share it? This week, think about those priorities in your life. I've got my priorities. You've got your priorities. But let's not forget the church. Because we call ourselves what? Disciples. I was so intrigued that Charlie Tucker, I sent a little gift card to him to buy some school supplies. And he sent me a little note back. And he said, it's so good to be a Doolin disciple. He got it. He gets it. It's not just a Doolin member. It's a Doolin disciple. And it's so that is the greatest thrill of my time here with you is that we have used that term disciple, and now all of us are using that word. I'm a Doolin disciple. Not just a member, I'm a Doolin disciple. I had somebody visit me this week about being a part of the church, and I said, You'll be what's called a Doolin disciple. She said, what? What is a Doolin disciple? I said, oh, it's not a membership. It's a way of life. It's a commitment to Christ to be a disciple. And she was intrigued because everywhere else she had gone, they talked about membership. Who wants membership, friends? We're disciples. And that's the good news. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and we all say together, Amen. Amen.